This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So dear brothers and sisters, last time we were talking about some rules of guidance and we started with our aqidah or our creed concerning the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this subject is very common. Many people are familiar with this subject. But I think there is a need. I believe that there is a need to talk about the virtues of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their excellence, their contributions. Because there are some other people who belong to some deviant sects who are slandering the Sahaba every day. And there are some of our brothers and sisters from the Muslim Sunni community who might be affected by this poison. They might be affected by these deviated, you know, thoughts. And we need to clarify these issues. And today, and actually I was planning to talk about some other issues, but I changed my mind. And I'm planning to spend some time with some Sahaba, talking about their stories and their contributions, as I said. And tonight, inshallah, we'll be talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, and his khilafah, the issue of his khilafah, radiallahu anhu. So, and also we'll talk about his virtues. What are his virtues, alayhi, radiallahu anhu? What is his status within this ummah? Was he mentioned in the Quran or not? Radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. What was the nature of his relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So we want to finalize these issues, have a clear idea about his status within the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We know that all Muslim Sunni Muslim scholars believe that Abu Bakr is the best man after all prophets and messengers. He's not a prophet, he's not a messenger, but he was a Siddiq. He was the best Muslim in this ummah, in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was the best human being after all prophets and messengers. But what are their proofs? What are their proofs? There must be some proofs there. The ulama do not agree about something without any evidence. Our ulama, alhamdulillah, and especially the Sunni Muslim scholars, they don't speak in general, they don't speak from their inclinations or their desires. I'm talking about the well-respected Sunni scholars, those who are authorities in their fields. They don't talk about, you know, from their desires and their inclinations. For everything, there must be a proof. And alhamdulillah, we are trained in this way. As Sunni Muslims, we don't accept anything without proof. This is in general, yani. Sometimes we do accept things, but in general, we are trained to, you know, to look into the dala'il, the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah of our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's talk a little bit about his family lineage. His name is Abdullah. His first name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. And his father used to be called Abu Quhafa. That's why they said he is Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa. So his father, his name was Uthman, and his eldest son was Quhafa, and that's why he was called, his father was called Abu Quhafa. So they say Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa, or Abdullah ibn Uthman, radiallahu anhu, al-Qurayshi, al-Taymi, from Bani Taym, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his mother was Umm al-Khair Salma bint Sakhr. And she was the cousin of his father. He was born in 573. They said the ulama 2 years and 6 months after the event of the elephant. You know, the raid of the elephant, Abraha al-Habashi, the Abyssinian. He was a king in Yemen at that time, in charge of Yemen. And then he decided to invade the city of Mecca, and he destroyed the Kaaba, and his story is well known. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about it in Surah Al-Fil. And that year used to be called Aam al-Fil, the year of the elephant. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was born 2 years and 6 months, 2 years and a half after that event. And he died on the year 634 in the Christian calendar at the age of 61. Some ulama, they said he died at the age of 63. But there is no difference between them. If those who said 61, they were counting his age based on the Christian calendar. And those who said 63, they counted his age based on the Islamic calendar. He was the best friend of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They grew up in the same city. They belonged to the same tribe. And when he was a young man, he became a merchant. And he extensively traveled in the land of Arabia and neighboring countries. So he gained through these travels and these trips both in wealth and experience. So he was wealthy. He was the books or the historians, they said he was upright. He had a pleasant personality. People used to enjoy his companionship, radiallahu anhu. They used to enjoy his knowledge, his experience, his expertise. And they used to visit his house and spend time with him, radiallahu anhu. And he was, they said, he was the first adult male to accept Islam outside the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, made a statement. He said, the first among the adult males was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The first to accept Islam. The first among women was Khadija radiallahu anha. The first among children was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anha. The first among freed slaves was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anha. And then the first among the slaves at that time was Bilal radiallahu anhu. This is the statement of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, one of his special characters, something that is special, unique with Abu Bakr is that he embraced Islam immediately after he was invited to become a Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified to this in a long hadith. There was a dispute that took place between Umar and Abu Bakr in the city of Medina. And then Abu Bakr, it was his fault. So he went to Umar and asked for his forgiveness. He apologized. But Umar radiallahu anhu at that moment refused to forgive him. So he was very upset. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he sat down in front of him and he told him about what happened between him and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he made dua to Abu Bakr, yaghfirullahu laka ya Abu Bakr, 3 marrat, 3 times. Yaghfirullahu laka ya Abu Bakr, yaghfirullahu laka ya Abu Bakr. May Allah forgive you, O Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive you, Abu Bakr, may Allah forgive you, Abu Bakr. And then Umar came. He regretted what he did. He thought about it, and then he came looking for his companion. Abu Bakr was a very close friend to Umar too, radiallahu anhu. These three, they were always together, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, I used to hear to hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I went with Abu Bakr and Umar. I entered with Abu Bakr and Umar. I left with Abu Bakr and Umar. I went to this place with Abu Bakr and Umar. So they were always together, these three, radiallahu anhuma wa sallallahu ala rasulina al-kareem. So Umar felt bad about what happened and he went looking for Abu Bakr in his house. He did not find him. Then he went to the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when Umar came, he saw that he can see that the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was changing with displeasure. It was becoming red. He was very upset, very angry. And then he made a statement. He said, "لقد يعني." He made a great statement about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. He said at the end of his speech, "هل أنتم تاركوا لي صاحبي?" He said, "من كل من كلمته عن الإسلام, everyone I talked to about Islam, except that he gave a thought to it, at least for a while, except Abu Bakr. Except Abu Bakr, when I invited him to Islam, he said, "You have said the truth," and he accepted Islam immediately. And then he said, "Hal antum tarikuli? Fahal antum tarikuli sahibi? Are you going to leave my companion alone? Are you going to leave my companion alone?" When Abu Bakr, when he saw Rasulullah ﷺ becoming very angry, he sat down on his knees and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, it was my fault. It was my fault." But Rasulullah ﷺ was very angry. And then he defended his best friend Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And the hadith, the narrator of the hadith, he said he was never harmed after that. He was never mistreated after that. Talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. After he accepted Islam, he proved to be an energetic activist. And he was very active in da'wah. And he right away started preaching, calling people to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He talked to his close friends. And there are five people who accepted Islam in the first days. And all these five people, all of them, I know that many people accepted Islam through the efforts, the da'wah efforts of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. But these five people were given the glad tidings of Jannah. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. All these five were given the glad tidings of Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned their names. He said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah. And then he mentioned the rest of the six, and among them these fives. So imagine, just think about it, all these are giants of Islam. They supported the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah was pleased with them. They participated in all the campaigns and all the battles that Rasulullah all the events that took place between Muslims and non-Muslims. So, and all their deeds will be added to this, to his account, radiyallahu anhu. All their deeds, their reward will not be reduced on the day of judgment. But their hasanat will be added to his account, radiyallahu anhu. Now, did the Quran mention the name of Abu Bakr? The Quran did not mention Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. But the Quran mentioned some of his deeds, some of his actions. And he was mentioned in two places. In one place, there is agreement between all scholars, even the people who believe to the, some deviated sects, they cannot deny this. In their tafsirs, they said it was Abu Bakr. In Surah At-Tawbah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about his hijrah, alayhi salatu wasalam, from Mecca to Al-Madinah. This is one place, ayah 40 in Surah At-Tawbah. And the other place, it was in Surah Al-Layl. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about some of his deeds. Allah did not mention his name. But the Mufassirun, the scholars of tafsir, they said, some of them, they said there is an agreement, there is ijma', there is consensus that Abu Bakr was meant by this ayat in Surah Al-Layl. There is no disagreement about the other ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. So in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Illa tansuruhu faqad nasarahu Allah." If you do not aid the Prophet, it doesn't matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already aided him. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When those who disbelieved had driven him out of the city of Mecca, as one of the two, ثَانِيَ اثنين, one of the two. And who are the two here? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Of course, they had their guide, a non-Muslim guide, and they had Amir ibn Fuhayra, who was a Muslim, and he was a freed slave of Abu Bakr. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention these other two people. But he mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So in this ayah he said, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. When they were in the cave, and he said to his companion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, And he said to his companion, "Do not grieve, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, with his protection, with his support, with his help, with his tawfiq." And this is what Rasulullah s.a.w. told his companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down his tranquility upon him. He's talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And he supported him with angels you did not see. No one was able to see the angels, but they were there helping the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion. And made the word of those who disbelieved the lowest. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَى وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And the word of Allah, that is the highest, and Allah is exalted in might and the wise. So the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was successful. They tried to kill Rasulullah s.a.w. They were not successful. They gave a reward to anyone who would bring Rasulullah s.a.w. dead or alive. 100 camels for everyone, and they were not successful. They tried. They sent their dispatchments to look for Rasulullah s.a.w. and his companions, but they couldn't. It was the protection of Allah. It was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala succeeded at the end. And they were able to make it to the city of Medina. But here, what is good about it is, the ulama, they said, there was a great honor that was given to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq here. Because the ayah, it means that all people have left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Of course, Muslims who, they had to run for their life and they had to leave the city of Mecca. They went to the city of Medina. And the other people, the rest of people who were in Mecca, they were trying to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were planning to kill the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. This is the meaning of the ayah. And provided his help through his angels, but through his companions too, through Abu Bakr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Abu Bakr as a support to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you read the seerah, you find that the whole family of Abu Bakr was involved in this event. Asma radiyallahu anha, she is the daughter of Abu Bakr, used to supply Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr with food. Her brother Abdullah used to collect information. He used to go to the city of Mecca in the morning. He used to spend the night with them. In the morning he would go to the city of Mecca and collect the news and the information about the movements of the Meccans and their plans, and come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him about their plans. So you think about it, the whole family, Amir ibn Fuhayra was a freed slave of Abu Bakr, and he was involved too. He was taking care of his sheep, and he would bring them at night, so they would drink from their milk. So the whole family was involved in supporting the Messenger of Allah and providing their help. And this is a great honor that was given to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and to his family. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu قال, يعني Anas ibn Malik يقول, حدثنا أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه قال نظرت إلى أقدام المشركين على رؤوسنا ونحن في الغار فقلت يا رسول الله لو أن أحدهم نظر إلى قدميه أبصرنا تحت قدميه. هذا في صحيح مسلم. فقال يا أبا بكر ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. So he said when they were in the cave, he said, I saw the feet of the pagans, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he was very worried. There are some deviant people who say Abu Bakr went with him to give the news to the kuffar, to spy on him. Look at their twisted explanation. Look at their evil intentions, their hatred to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He went with him to spy on him and give the news, you know, his news to his enemies. So he said, I saw the feet of the pagans just above our heads while we were in the cave. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, if one of them was to look at their feet, he would see us underneath his feet. So the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with calmness, with tranquility, with tuma'nina at that time. He said, what is your thought about two? What is your thought about two? The third of whom is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no fear. There should be no fear about these two. You shouldn't worry about them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third. Is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them, supporting them and protecting them. The second ayah, or the second ayat, group of ayat in Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَسَيُجَّنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. And far removed from it, which is hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about hellfire, is the one who is pious, who is fearful, al-atqa. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who spends his wealth for increasing self-purification. So he wants to purify his... This is a shahada from Allah. That the one who is giving this, giving his money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is seeking his pleasure. He wants to purify his nafs, his soul. He's seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. And has in his mind no favor from anyone for which a reward is expected to be given back. Because the people of Makkah, they said, after he freed, he bought Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he gave him his, granted him his freedom, and he became a free man, Bilal. They said, the people of Makkah, they said, Bilal must have done some favor to Abu Bakr. So actually, Abu Bakr is just paying him back his favor. This statement of theirs is found in the books of Tafsir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, سبب النزول. The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, to refute their claim that Abu Bakr is paying these people back. And Abu Bakr did not buy only Bilal. In the books of Tafsir and the books of Sirah, he said he bought 7 people. All of them were tortured for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of them were slaves at that time. They said, Imam al-Shawkani said, أَعْتَقَ سَبْعَةً كُلُّهُمْ يُعَذَّبُ فِي اللَّهِ. Seven people. And the first one was Bilal radiallahu anhu, and Amir ibn Fuhayra, and Nahdiya wa ibnatuha. One woman, her name is Nahdiya, and her daughter, Zinnira, Isa wa amatu bani al-Mu'ammil. So all these people, most of them were female slaves. They were tortured and persecuted by the Meccans. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu came and he bought them from their masters and he granted them their freedom radiallahu anhu. And many scholars have mentioned that there is a consensus about the tafsir of this ayah, that the first one who is meant in this ayah, is included in this ayah, is Abu Bakr. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant Abu Bakr. At the end of the ayat he said, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. This is a testimony of faith, a testimony from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his sincerity, about his ikhlas, that he's seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, that Abu Bakr will be pleased on the Day of Judgment when he enters paradise. There are some other 3 unique virtues of Abu Bakr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned these 3 virtues of Abu Bakr before he passed away. 3 days or 4 days before he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood up on the minbar, or he sat on the minbar, he was very sick, prayed dhuhr with the Muslims in the city of Medina. And he ascended the minbar, sat down there, and he gave a speech. It was a long speech, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's like giving nasiha, wasaya, advices to the Muslim community. And then he said in his speech, عَبْدٌ خَيَّرَهُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ زَهْرَةَ الدُّنْيَا وَبَيْنَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَبَكَى أَبُو بَكْرُ وَبَكَى فَقَالَ فَدَيْنَاكَ بِآبَائِنَا وَأُمَّهَاتِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he said, a slave, a servant of Allah, he was given the choice between zahrat al-dunya, the adornment of this dunya, of this life, enjoying the adornment of this life, and between what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, to choose between the two. And he chose what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Bakr cried, he started weeping, and the rest of the Sahaba did not understand, because Rasulullah did not mention his name. And some of them, they said, why Abu Bakr is crying? And Abu Bakr made a statement at that time, فَدَيْنَاكَ بِآبَائِنَا وَأُمَّهَاتِنَا. May our parents, our fathers and mothers be ransomed for your sake, O Messenger of Allah. So they didn't understand this statement. And they said, the Rawi of al-Hadith, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he is the one who narrated this hadith. He said, فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ هُوَ الْمُخَيِّرُ وكان أبو بكر أعلمنا به. He said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was the man who was given the choice, and Abu Bakr had more knowledge than all of us about the Messenger of Allah. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made a very strong statement about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he mentioned his three characters that are unique virtues not shared by anyone about Abu Bakr. He said, إن أمن الناس علي في ماله وصحبته أبو بكر. The first one, he said, the most generous among all people in his companionship, his wealth and properties, and his companionship is Abu Bakr. The most generous toward me. He said, the most generous among all people toward me in his property and his support is Abu Bakr. This is before he passed away. And he said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا غَيْرَ رَبِّي, in one of the versions, غَيْرَ رَبِّي, لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا وَلَكِنْ أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, if I had to take an intimate friend among the people of earth, in one of the versions of Sahih Muslim, if I had to take an intimate friend from among people, from among humans, except, you know, my Lord, I would have taken Abu Bakr as an intimate friend. وَلَكِنْ أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. What is between me and him? The brotherhood of Islam. In a different riwayah, he said, he's my companion and he's my brother in Islam. But so he's saying here that this relationship, this close relationship, is reserved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a different riwayah, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَكُمْ خَلِيلًا. Allah has taken your friend, your companion, and he meant himself, as a khalil, as a close friend. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken Ibrahim as a khalil. لذلك نقول إبراهيم الخليل عليه السلام. Khalil is a close friend. والله أعلم. It's not a very good translation, but this is the best we can do. Khalil, it has another deeper meaning in the Arabic language. ثم قال لا تبقين في المسجد خوخة إلا خوخة أبي بكر. هذا الحديث موجود في البخاري ومسلم. He said, there shall be no door that is open except the door of Abu Bakr. Some Sahaba had doors between the masjid and their houses. So he said, you have to close all the gates and doors except the door of Abu Bakr. And this is a hint that Rasulullah ﷺ wanted Abu Bakr to be the leader of the Muslim Ummah after he passed away. It's not a clear 100%, but this is a hint. He said, you have to close all the doors and the gates between your houses and the masjid except the door of Abu Bakr. And the ulama, they said, these are three unique virtues not shared to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and not shared by anyone else. And he was the most beloved man to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who told us about this? Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Amr ibn al-As, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him in command of the army dispatch in Ghazwat, in the that is Salasil. There was a ghazwa. There are two battles that are called the Battle of Dhat al-Salasil. One of them that took place at the time of Abu Bakr when he was the Khalifa. And this one took place at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. And Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was the leader of this army. Under his leadership was Abu Bakr and Umar and some other, you know, Sahabas. But Rasulullah ﷺ, for some reasons, has selected or appointed Amr ibn al-As, who just accepted Islam 5 months ago, as the leader of this army. What is the hikmah? It could be that he wanted to train his companions, train them to be leaders in the future, to respect their skills, because Amr ibn al-As was a good commander. He was a good warrior to make use of their expertise. There is some hikmah, some wisdom there. So he came, after he came back, Amr ibn al-As thought that he is the most beloved man to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He must be, since he appointed him as the leader of this army, so he must be his favorite friend. He must be the best in the Muslim community. So he asked him, who amongst people are dearest to you, O Messenger of Allah, Amr ibn al-As? So he said, Aisha, about his wife, radiallahu anha, the daughter of a Siddiq. He said, who amongst men? He said, Abu Bakr, her father. He said, her father. He didn't say Abu Bakr, but he said, her father, Abu. He said, then who next? He said, Umar. And then he said, he mentioned some other people. In the version of Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, فَسَكَتْتُ خَشْيَةَ أَنْ أَكُونَ آخِرَهُمْ. I kept quiet, fearing that I could be the last one in the list. I didn't want to ask more questions, any more questions. So, but this hadith, which is Sahih, in Sahih, it's found in Sahih Muslim. This hadith is a proof that Abu Bakr was the most dearest person to Rasulullah, or was the dearest person to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are the proofs of his khilafah? There are many. The one that I mentioned when he said you have to close all the gates except the gate of Abu Bakr. There is another hadith that is not well known, is not famous, even though it is in Sahih Muslim. Aisha is the one who narrated this hadith. She said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال ادعي لي أبا بكر وأخاك حتى أكتب كتابا فإني أخاف أن يتمنى متمن ويقول القائل أو قائل أنا أولى ويأبى الله والمؤمنون إلا أبا بكر. He said, call your father and your brother Abdul Rahman too, so that I might write a document or a book. For he feared that someone, she's saying, Aisha said, he feared that someone else might be desiring of succeeding him, succeeding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that some claimant might say, I have better claim to it. Whereas Allah and the faithful, the believers, refuse the claim of anyone but that of Abu Bakr. But you tell me the question, why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not write the book? Because we didn't know, we didn't have, at that time, there is nothing, there is no proof that says that Rasulullah ﷺ wrote a book actually for the Muslims and told them that Abu Bakr has to be the leader. But this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. There is another version of this hadith, which is found in Kitab Takhrij Kitab al-Sunnah, Ibn Abi Asim. Sheikh al-Albani said, this is Sahih. قَالَ دَعِيهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ دَعِيهِ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَخْتَلِفَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي أَبِي بَكْرِ. He said, forget about it. Just forget about it. Leave it. I seek refuge with Allah that Muslims or the believers will have disagreement about the leadership of Abu Bakr. So it was impossible in his mind that the Muslims will have any disagreement about the leadership of Abu Bakr. And that's why he said it's not important. Just leave it. And when he was sick, actually, and for on a different occasion, before he passed away, he wanted actually to write something. But many people were around him, and they were talking, and he was very tired. Umar said, we have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have the sunnah of his messenger, we are not going to disagree. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sick, so leave him alone. So they left his room, and nothing was written. This is the mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is a clear evidence here in Sahih Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Abu Bakr to be the Khalifa after him. There should be no doubt in your mind as a Sunni Muslim that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq deserved the position of the Khilafah. And then the one who came after him is Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali. And they use, Abdullah ibn Umar, they said, we used to compare between the Sahaba at the time of Rasulullah. So we used to say the best among them was Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. These are the ahadith in Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari, mentioned by many Sahabas, radiyallahu anhum. Some of his other virtues, radiyallahu anhu, in Ghazwat Badr, Rasulullah s.a.w. had only 313 men with him, and they were facing 1,000 men. After he felt that there was no way for him to avoid the Meccan army, and they had to face the Meccan army, and he made his decision to face the Meccan army, he wanted to make mashura with his companions to make sure that they are ready, they are willing to sacrifice their blood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are willing to offer their support. So he said, and this is something great in our sunnah, if we study it, that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger of Allah, he was the prophet of Allah, but he was not a dictator, he was not making decisions by himself. He used to consult his sahaba, radiallahu anhum, wa shawirhum fil amr. Based on the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told him, consult with your companions. So he said, he started saying, ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas, give me your opinion. What is your opinion about this? The first one to talk and to offer his support, full support, it was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Then Umar, then al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiyallahu anhum. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not satisfied, he wanted the Ansar to say something. So he kept saying, ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas, give me your opinion. Because the Ansar, they promised before to protect him within the boundaries of the city of Medina. But in Badr, Badr is outside the city of Medina, 120 or 140 kilometers. So here he wanted to make sure that they are willing to participate in this battle, the Battle of Badr. And he wanted the Ansar to say something, and then Sa'd ibn Mu'adh stood up and he offered his full support on behalf of his friends, his companions, the Ansari friends. But the first one to offer his support was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. The ulama, they said, he attended all the campaigns and all the battles with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. During the expedition of Tabuk, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited people to donate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a very tough expedition, and the Muslim army was made of around 30,000 soldiers, and they needed some supplies and some food and some help, some money, and they needed horses and camels. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Muslims to donate. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, tonight or today I'm gonna surpass Abu Bakr. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with half of his wealth. If he has 10,000, he gave 5,000 for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, I'm going to defeat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu brought all his wealth. Rasulullah asked him, what did you leave for your family? He said, taraktu lahum Allah wa Rasulah. I left for them Allah and His Messenger, which means nothing. He brought all his wealth. Whatever he had in his house, he brought it and he gave it to Rasulullah as a sadaqah to equip the army of Tabuk. And he's the first of those who were given glad tidings of Jannah. Rasulullah, when he mentioned the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, he said, Abu Bakr, he started with Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr fil Jannah. وَهَذَا بَيَانُنَا لِلنَّاسِ Abu Bakr fil Jannah. He will be in Jannah. We have no doubt about it. We don't have the right to say so-and-so is in Jannah, or so-and-so is in hellfire. We don't have the right, except when we have a dalil, when we have a proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger, then we shouldn't have any doubt that this man will be in Jannah. He is among the people, among the inhabitants of Jannah. نسأل الله subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يحقنا بهم جميعا. And he was, as I said, always ranked as the best man after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he was one of the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. علي بن أبي طالب هذا الحسين الحسن and الحسين from فاطمة الزهراء رضي الله عنها. And he had Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya from another woman. She was from Bani Hanifa. And his name was Muhammad. Was a great, also great personality in our history. Like his brothers. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. So he came to his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said, who is the best among the Sahaba? Ali ibn Abi Talib said, right away, Abu Bakr. The answer is clear. Abu Bakr. He said, then who? Who is next? He said, Umar. And he said, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. He said, I was afraid that he would say Uthman. So he said, and then you? You are the third one? Then Ali, he said, I am just one of the Muslims. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَجُلٌ مِنَا الْمُسْلِمِينَ. This is, he was saying this out of his humbleness. Otherwise, he comes after Uthman رضي الله عنه, and he is one of those who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. And he was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was, you know, he has his own virtues. When you talk about the Sahaba, is one, everyone has his own virtues. But when it comes, when we compare between the Sahaba, when we compare between them, the Sahaba at that time didn't have no doubt that Abu Bakr was the best man among this ummah. And then Umar, and then Uthman, then Ali radiallahu anhu, and the rest of the Sahaba, the rest of those who were given glad tidings of Jannah, and those who participated in Badr, and then those who participated in Uhud, and then those who participated in Bay'at al-Ridwan, who offered their pledge under the tree, and then come after them those who accepted Islam between Bay'at al-Ridwan, the Hudaybiyah treaty, and the Fath of Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, and those who accepted Islam after Mecca was conquered, and so on. Until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, as I told you before, last time in the last session, that when he made Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had around 120,000 Sahabis with him. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu fikum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.